Chapter 52, Nehemiah, Man of Prayer and Action. Nehemiah, one of the Hebrew exiles, occupied a position of influence in the Persian court and was admitted freely to the royal presence. He had become the monarch's friend and counselor. However, though surrounded by pomp and splendor, he did not forget God nor his people. His heart turned toward Jerusalem. Through this man, God purposed to bring blessing to his people. By messengers from Judea, the Hebrew patriot learned that the returned exiles in the chosen city were suffering. The work of restoration was hindered, the temple services were disturbed, and the walls of the city were still largely in ruins. Overwhelmed with sorrow, Nehemiah could neither eat nor drink. In grief, he turned to the divine helper. "I prayed before the God of heaven." He pleaded that God would maintain the cause of Israel, restore their courage and strength, and help them build up the waste places. As Nehemiah prayed, his faith and courage grew. He pointed to the dishonor that would be cast on God if his people should be left in weakness and oppression. He urged the Lord to bring to pass his promise given to Israel through Moses before they entered Canaan. See, God's people had now returned to him in penitence, and his promise would not fail. Now Nehemiah resolved that if he could obtain the consent of the king and the necessary material, he would himself undertake the task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and restoring Israel's national strength. And he asked the Lord to grant him the king's favor that his plan might be carried out. "Prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day," he entreated, "and grant him mercy in the sight of this man." Nehemiah waits for God's opportunity. 4 months Nehemiah waited to present his request to the king. Though his heart was heavy with grief, he endeavored to be cheerful in the royal presence. In those halls of luxury all must appear light-hearted and happy. But in Nehemiah's seasons of retirement, concealed from human sight, many were the prayers and tears heard and witnessed by God and angels. At length sleepless nights and care-filled days left their trace on his countenance. The king, jealous for his own safety, was accustomed to read countenances and to penetrate disguises. He saw that some secret trouble was preying on his cupbearer. "Why is thy countenance sad?" he inquired, "seeing thou art not sick. This is nothing else but sorrow of heart." Would not the king be angry that while outwardly engaged in his service, the courtier's thoughts had been far away with his afflicted people? His cherished plan for restoring Jerusalem, was it about to be overthrown? "Then," he writes, "I was very sore afraid." With tearful eyes he revealed the cause of his sorrow. "Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire?" The sympathy of the monarch was awakened. "For what dost thou make request?" The man of God did not venture to reply till he had sought direction from one higher than Artaxerxes. He required help from the king, and he realized that much depended on his presenting the matter in such a way as to enlist his aid. "I prayed," he said, "to the God of heaven." In that brief prayer Nehemiah pressed into the presence of the King of Kings and won to his side a power that can turn hearts as the rivers of waters are turned. Toilers in the busy walks of life, almost overwhelmed with perplexity, can send up a petition to God for divine guidance. Travelers when threatened with some great danger can commit themselves to heaven's protection. In times of sudden difficulty the heart may send up its cry for help to one who has pledged to come to the aid of his believing ones when they call on him. The soul fiercely assailed by temptation may find support in the unfailing power and love of a covenant-keeping God. God gave Nehemiah courage. In that brief moment of prayer Nehemiah gathered courage to ask Artaxerxes for authority to build up Jerusalem and make it once more a strong city. Momentous results to the Jewish nation hung on this request. And, Nehemiah declared, "The king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me." RSV. Nehemiah proceeded to make arrangements to ensure the success of the enterprise. While he knew that many of his countrymen would rejoice in his success, he feared that some might arouse the jealousy of their enemies and perhaps bring about the defeat of the undertaking. His request to the king had been so favorably received that Nehemiah was encouraged to ask for still further assistance. He asked for a military escort to give authority to his mission. He obtained royal letters to the governors of the territory through which he must pass on his way to Judea and a letter to the keeper of the king's forest in Lebanon directing him to furnish timber. Nehemiah was careful to have the authority accorded him clearly defined. God's children are not only to pray in faith but to work with diligent and provident care. Nehemiah did not regard his duty done when he had wept and prayed before the Lord. He united his petitions with holy endeavor. The means that Nehemiah lacked he solicited from those able to bestow. And the Lord is still willing to move on the hearts of those in possession of his goods, in behalf of the cause of truth. Those who labor for him are to avail themselves of these gifts by which the light of truth shall go to many benighted lands. The donors may have no faith in Christ, no acquaintance with his word, but their gifts are not on this account to be refused.